Abuse victims have raised serious concerns after it emerged that two Christian brothers, now jailed for child sexual abuse, were members of the leadership that managed the assets and finances of the congregation over a number of years. The discovery is part of an RTE Investigates documentary to air tonight on the Christian Brothers' assets and asset holders. Rita O'Reilly is the reporter. She's with us. Rita, thanks for coming in. What's the context to tonight's RTE Investigates special on the Christian Brothers and its assets?
Well, last year, a scoping inquiry into historical sexual abuse in day and boarding schools run by the religious orders predicted a staggering scale of childhood abuse claims could emerge when a government commission of investigation is held. It recommended redress for those school victims, and estimates range in the tens of thousands of victims and billions in cost. And in that scoping inquiry, the congregation with the largest number of schools and the highest number of allegations was the Christian Brothers. So as abuse victims came forward to seek truth and justice and compensation, that comes with a cost, perhaps for the Christian Brothers, but certainly for the taxpayer who has had to foot the bulk of the bill so far for abuse claims. We also know that uniquely among the religious orders and congregations, the Christian Brothers refuses to nominate a leader to act as a representative defendant when victims take cases against them in the courts. It's a legal tactic. It relies on a Supreme Court judgment that religious bodies like it are unincorporated associations like a club run by a committee. Victims see it, though, as the Christian Brothers spending the money on a legal strategy to thwart their claims.
Their money, Rita. Is it fair to say that the Christian Brother congregation holds considerable wealth?
Yes, well, as a congregation, it's still one of the richest, and its ageing trustees hold on to an extensive property portfolio. Now, the Christian Brothers puts the bulk of its wealth down to the salaries its brothers donated to the congregation for decades. That's money traditionally used for their care and upkeep, but our inquiries show and experts confirm that much of the land they've amassed over the centuries would be regarded as charitable land, put together through donations, bequests, fundraising, and through state intervention and maintenance and support. And it's there for the purposes of education, sometimes for sport. It's essentially there for social purposes, for the public good.
What is the extent of their assets?
Well, we had to do a deep dive over 12 months to find out what they own, because in Ireland it's often hard to find out who owns what. We searched and we cross-referenced and we analysed and found that since 1990, the Christian Brothers has either sold or transferred over 530 properties, and it still owns at least 270 more. Some of what it sold is substantial, and so is some of what it still owns. And what we can see from our analysis is a pattern of contracts for sale between the Christian Brothers and developers on school and institutional lands across Dublin. Under such agreements, of course, the Christian Brothers get higher prices for its property if developers get planning permission in place. And we showed our findings to Robin Mandel, who's the former president of the Institute of Architects, and here he gives his reaction.
Having looked at the spreadsheet, I'm surprised at the number of properties. It really is a huge land bank, and they are very, very valuable lands. What they seem to be doing all the time is they're looking at what they have, how they can best strip the asset or sweat the asset. In selling it off, they're selling it forever, so the asset is now stripped. But in terms of looking at its future potential and how housing units might increase its value, they're looking at sort of sweating that asset.
Rita, why does this matter to your overall investigation?
Well, it must first be said that the Christian Brothers told us that where property divestments occur, the cash supports its capacity to meet its future obligations, including existing and future claims. And also, it has to be said that for decades, the Christian Brothers provided many gifted educators who inspired thousands of Irish boys. But as we know, there were a number of Christian Brother abusers too, and many survivors view the congregation as steadfast in caring for its assets while indifferent to their childhood abuse and the impact it's had on their adult lives. What we're revealing tonight in our documentary is that at the top levels of the congregation, where trustees are managing its wealth, we've discovered these include leaders who've been jailed as child sexual abusers. There were two recently convicted child abusers that were at the heart of the Christian Brothers leadership and asset management. For legal reasons, we can't name one of them. Who was jailed, but one we can. And his name is Martin O'Flaherty. Brother Martin O'Flaherty was a trustee of the Christian Brothers assets in Ireland and England and part of its core leadership over a dozen years. He was also a sexual predator. And in six separate trials over the past 3 years, juries convicted him of multiple counts of child sexual abuse at Kilkenny CBS Primary School between 1976 and 1981. And he pleaded not guilty each time. He has a total now of 103 convictions related to 22 victims and an effective sentence of 8.5 years in all. And O'Flaherty was also a keeper of the keys for the brothers. He was a trustee of the registered charity that holds the Christian Brothers assets and a founding member of and director of its trustee company, Christian Brothers CLG. Now, child abuse survivor and victims advocate Damien O'Farrell was at the forefront of a campaign in response to the brothers' leadership use of legal tactics in the courts. And in the programme, Damien speaks to us about how victims see those tactics. And he also gives us his reaction to our revelations about O'Flaherty, who he met on a number of occasions in the past.
You have to keep going back to the courts. You have to use the High Court. There's assets that they have that are being used against you. You're worried about bills. You're worried about mounting legal costs. These children were sexually abused in Christian Brothers schools, and their power and control was taken from them. So now as adults, the litigation strategy and all the assets that they have and the corporate entity that they have, it's been used to again take that power and control away from these now men that were children. But now we know that there's two people in the leadership that have convictions. Were they behind some of that direction? You know, that disdain for victims, that victims, we're the problem.
Rita, what have the Christian Brothers said to you in response to your findings?
Well, it said it could not comment on individuals, not least as some were subject to ongoing legal processes. And it reiterated its apology for the physical and sexual abuse that occurred in many former CBS schools and institutions over several generations. And it said it recognised the terrible damage done to innocent children who should have been protected. Now, it also said it fully respects the rights of all parties in litigation to progress their case in accordance with the law and best legal practice, and that it views mediation as the best solution.
Rita Riley from RT Investigates, thank you. You can watch that documentary, RT Investigates, Christian Brothers, The Assets, The Abusers, tonight at 9:35 on RTE1 Television and the RTE Player. 7:47.